It was just exactly as a beer should be. And so you end up over hyping something that shouldn't be hyped at all, except that it's just so as it should be. And then it kind of stands
that's
out.
That's good, though. What do which you is want? Odd. Well, what do you want it to be? But, what do you want it to be? Pure gold?
Well, no, because then, well, but, that's, no, but that's what I'm saying. and that's the thing. But then, you know, someone says, was it really that good? And I'm going, well, no.
Radio Brews News is proudly presented by Cryer Malt. With over 25 years in the field, Cryer Malt is dedicated to providing the finest brewing ingredients to help brewers create the foundations of a truly excellent beer. They are your premium brewing partner and proud sponsors of Brews News, and in particular, Brews News Week, which is this. It's our regular wrap-up of all that's made news in beer this week. I'm your host, Pete Mitchum, and joining me to take a good hard look at the news, the views, and the issues are the founder and editor of Australian Brews News, Matt Kierkegaard, and ace reporter and senior journalist, Claire Burnett. G'day, guys.
All right, Pete.
Morning, Pete.
How does this fine day find you?
Not too shabby. There's a weird vibe going on there, don't you find?
It's getting to the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Tired.
There's a bit of that.
It's been a big year.
Yeah, it has. It's been massive. we're ready for a rest, aren't we, I think?
I think so, yeah. Well, because we do the compulsory close over Christmas, and we're going to have to start thinking about what our Christmas episode is going to look like this year. And
we've already got the Christmas party planned, though.
We do have the Christmas party planned.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that.
So, unfortunately, Pete won't be able to join us unless he flies up now.
Yeah.
And g'day to Uncle Dennis, my mum's brother, who's in his... late 70s,
yeah,
early 80s, who has been planning to come down, and then of course, you know, there's lockdowns and all the rest of it, and finally was coming down next week until last night that your fine premier Anastasia better stay a wager declared as a red zone, so he's not coming down now, so we'll hopefully reconvene in the new year, but you know, these things happen.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Yeah, so the answer to that, Claire, is I think I can get there, but I think I have to like double isolate
for like two weeks or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might have to be quarantining over Christmas actually, because my sister's planning on coming. Ugh. I know it must have been a year, Pete.
But you may remember that I have very expensive tastes. So,
it's true.
The Brews News empire having to foot the bill for 2 weeks, me either side, so I can have one beer with you guys at lunch.
It. We have to raid the war chest for that.
Probably not the best use of our sponsors' money.
Sadly true.
Yeah, that's right. Now, a bit to get through. I think we'll just cross live now to the Australian Brews News Media Centre for a wrap of stories making news in beer this week. And Claire, we begin with a story about a brewery in Marrickville.
that doesn't sound unusual. Oh, what a shocker.
A brewery in Marrickville.
Yes. And it made me laugh all the comments to that effect under this one on the Facebook group as well. Hawks launching their production brewery in Marrickville. It's been a long time coming. Launched the brand in 2017. Past couple of years, the guys, David Gibson, Nathan Lennon, the co-founders, have been on the lookout for a brewery. Now they've got it. They brewed their first beers, but interestingly, they aren't planning on opening properly to customers, opening their venue, until early next year. So they've got everything pretty much set up and ready to go. Head brewer Brody French, who used to be at Source, he's brewing. He's made his first beers. They're doing the core range there. But, yeah, not open to the public yet. And it was fascinating to hear their reasons why. They were just like, there's just no point. We can't get the staff. And I was like, that's interesting, because that's obviously what we've been hearing a lot in the like mainstream media, bigger hospitality groups and things like that. So it's interesting that they've just decided to skip that and hopefully be open in the new year. But yeah, congrats to them. That's a big project. Yeah, good on them.
Yeah, probably a smart move.
Yeah,
I think particularly, and look, I know Melbourne is probably amplified because of the lockdown was so long, and the hospitality and you know, live entertainment music industry is so much a part of Melbourne culture that it's really noticeable that it's really been kicked in the guts.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, with a lot of people now are just sort of anecdotally, there's just a little chat around that the customer experience is just different. You know, people are just it's just going to take a while, I think, before people kind of relax and ease back into it. And if you didn't have to open a consumer-facing brewing experience, then yeah, I wouldn't. I think I'd just be a production brewery for as long as I could, and then wait until things, you know, a bit of the nonsense subsides and normality returns.
That's it. And they're solid on the wholesale front. Like, it's not like they're starting from scratch, so they've got those revenues coming in while they're waiting for the opportune moment. So it's probably a clever strategy, good way to do it.
Yeah. Now, this one, I've got to say that this is quite a new one to me because you just cut and pasted it in. 1113 launches a crowdfund. What's 1113?
1113 is Other Side Brewing Co. in Western Australia's parent company. They are very much not just the brewing company, though. They do a lot of other venues, bars type things like that. And that's a lot of their board's experience lies not in brewing necessarily, but in hospital. And they've just launched a crowdfunding campaign just last week. They opened to the public. It's already surpassed its minimum of $500,000. The maximum is set at $2.5 million, and they've raised just under $900,000. I won't give you an exact figure because it'll definitely have changed by the time everybody listens to this. Another really good one. Obviously, we've seen a lot of crowdfunding campaigns this year. Some pretty successful. In fact, all of them have got over their minimum. This is a big one. This is an interesting one as well because I think that especially while WA has been very much untouched, but not as impacted by COVID as a lot of other states. So potentially their brewers aren't as impacted in the same way that like Hawks would have been had they been open. But again, they've got big plans and they want to fund it. And it was fascinating to hear about how they are going to deal with their new shareholders, because obviously we've seen in the past that some of the potentially the ones that haven't lived up to their expectations that have done crowdfunds before, you could tell reasonably early on from when they weren't very good at communicating with their investors, their financials were late. You know, there's lots of funny little things that just sort of, they individually aren't bad, but collectively kind of implies something's going on. Whereas 1113, Other Side Brewing, they've had their Beer Tycoons group, which is like a beer club, for I think 4 or 5 years now. And so they are practiced in communicating with really engaged members of their community. So Beer Tycoons isn't a shareholding thing. It's a beer club, as I say, but very like good practice effectively for this. So yeah, good on them. We'll see how it goes. As I say, they've already surpassed the minimum, so they're going to get something out of it anyway. I think they've got about 12 days left, so we'll see if they manage to hit the 2.5 million.
Well, speaking of good on them, last week, I do believe the Kierkegaard curse kicked in yet again. didn't we, last week, first time in a long while, Matt just happened to drop the name Matt Tapper, who back then was the managing director of Lion Little World Beverages. MD steps down at Lion Little World Beverages.
Indeed.
Yeah, Ed, look, don't know much about this one. Lion has announced that Matt Tapper, managing director, is leaving the company after the acquisition. The head of New Belgium is stepping in to take his role. But Matt's not just coming back to Australia to resume at Lion, he's leaving. So we don't know, you know, again, don't know too much about it. And I'll be honest, this is one of the stories that you sort of think, well, gee, I'd love to know more about this story, but if I phone, you're just
gonna, we're not going to get anything on that
yeah,
one.
Like it's kind of going to be family reasons or, you know, one of the, so can't enlighten you. It's shame. Matt's sort of really driven a lot that's happened, you know, with Little World Beverages. It's been interesting to stand back and watch, Pete, because I think we talked about it. You know, we made a special trip to San Francisco when we were up there specifically to visit Little World Beverages and check it out.
Little Creatures.
Yeah. And, yeah, it was a nice venue, but, you know, we couldn't quite work out what the brand offer for Little Creatures was in the home of the American Pale Ale. I visited Little Creatures in Singapore on my way over there. Same sort of thing. And since then, they've acquired a couple of breweries. So it's been, yeah, it's just been interesting to see what the Lion strategy is. But again, it's one of those things that you'd really almost have to read the tea leaves because no one's actually going to come out and say
it. Yeah, because he's only been in the US for like a year or so, hasn't
he? Yeah, I spoke to him. It was during the COVID lockdowns, so at the start, so probably about 18 months. So it was at the start of the COVID lockdowns that he went over there. And yeah, I was keen to have a bit of a chat. We had spoke on a very, very scratchy line that wasn't really podcastable.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, interesting going on. If anyone knows, let us know.
I say, yeah, yeah. No, the bloke's done well, and we wish him well in the future. So next story, 38% 38% of respondents experienced abuse, says Beer Diversity Survey.
This one, it was horrible to read, actually. So Beer Agents for Change, you may remember a couple of months ago, launched a diversity survey to sort of establish a benchmark for, you know, what's going on in the industry. Is it as bad as we fear it is in terms of diversity, sexism, inclusion? Obviously, following the allegations of sexism in the US industry earlier this year, and we did the podcast with Kylie at the IBA and Sabrina, who was then at the Brewers Guild, and Tiff Waldron at Pink Boots. So these are the results of the survey. And actually some really horrible results that came out. And I think the couple of people I've spoken to about it yesterday were like, I can't believe it. I'm like absolutely shocked. Staggering 38% of respondents have experienced abuse or harassment in the workplace. 20% have experienced sexual abuse or harassment. 20% have experienced abuse or harassment due to gender. And of those who experienced abuse, 90% were female. And there's some like really stark figures that came out from that one. At the time, we were thinking, you know, from where we sit, we haven't heard as much. Maybe I haven't been asking necessarily. Obviously, we do focus on the business side of it a bit more, but culture is part of that. So definitely something we're keeping on our radar. But I'm just really glad that they managed to do this. Beer Agents for Change were fantastic for taking this on. I'd really like to see some change in the industry. Obviously, we've seen the IBA Code of Conduct come out, which is fantastic. And it's just how we're going to deal with this in future. And I don't know, there's no easy answer or anything like that. But it's good to know that this is there and we can point to it and say, you know, this is a problem and we need to be doing something about it.
Mm. Just in my news feed that's come up, the ABC has picked up the story as well.
Fantastic.
Talking about it under the heading Harassment Abuse Claims in Australian Beer Industry Spark Calls for Change.
Wow, crazy. That's mad.
Incidentally, you had some great feedback on your conversation this week with Eden from Prancing Pony, sort of talking, a little bit about, the issue. So congratulations on that. So,
thank you. Yeah. I'll put that comment down the bottom because I thought that was really nice, actually, that got mentioned. Mm. And we obviously talked Eden and I talked a bit about Pink Boots and things like that. So there are mechanisms within the industry that are working on this issue. And I think it's just a collective thing that we need to sort of work towards together, I suppose.
Speaking of working together, Currumbin Valley is set to expand after a state grant.
They are indeed. So Currumbin Valley, who I've sadly been in contact, but I've written about them before in relation to a number of ABAC things. So it was really nice to be able to do something nice and talk about them being really successful. They've secured a business boost grant from the Queensland government, about $15,000 to help with the development cost for a new site. So I don't know if you guys know that much about Currumbin Valley, but they're out on a big farm in like the Gold Coast hinterland, basically. And they can't have a tap room there. They've got a little tiny little production brewery and it's really limited. The local council is basically like, because you're a rural setting and this is a farm effectively, they cap them at like 40,000 litres. And I was like, oh my God, how can you make anything worthwhile out of that? So they had exactly the same thought. Pete, Smokey, Weldon and Luke Ronalds, they founded it in 2016. And now they're finally looking for a new site. And this grant will help them towards the cost for doing the development and all that kind of stuff. I believe they have an eye on a site, but nothing's been like secured or anything yet. So we'll keep that one on the down low for now. But it was such a nice story to write that, you know, they've got to this point and they've always really wanted a tap room, but it's just never been they've never been able to. And then they've been really, really successful online and wholesale and doing wholesale. I think they won the Gabs Best Festival Beer in, I think, 2019.
People's Choice.
People's Choice, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they won that, and it just sort of kickstarted their growth, and just their beers were in demand. So now they've got to this point, and they're able to finally expand that. So the tap room's coming first. Obviously, they've got the brewery on the go, so they don't need to worry about a production brewery just yet. So tap room's coming first, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, a bigger brewery. So we're going to hopefully get to about 200,000 litres with that. But those are future plans. Nothing's secured yet. Nothing's happening just yet, but that's what they like to do. So, yeah, congratulations to those guys.
Yeah, Pete and Luke, just terrific blokes and good to see them winning. And speaking of winning, Claire, indeed. The 2021 Sydney Royal Beer and Cider Show winners have been revealed.
Indeed. So I don't know how we managed to miss this one off last week, but however we did it, we did it. So I definitely thought we wanted to have a chat about it. And I love this one because Slow Lane Brewing, who we've covered before when they opened earlier this year, took home Champion Package Beer and Best New South Wales Beer at the Sydney Royal Beer and Cider Show. We're going to have to get our hands on this. I'm not sure if they've sent us this before, the threefold Belgian triple. And this was obviously their first time. They've only just opened, and just a testament to how well they've done in such a short amount of time. And it was really interesting because obviously they call Slow Lane, they do everything a little bit slower than you would have maybe in a normal brewery.
The traditional way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they've clearly done so well. We had a load of other winners as well, so go check that list out. But I think that was just so amazing and just well done to them. That was brilliant.
Yeah, I recall there's another brewery that's it's owned by one of the big guys, but one of their taglines for a long while there was living life in the slow lane, wasn't it, Matt?
Whose was that?
It was on the back of a caravan.
Stone and Wood.
At the Ecker, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, I forgot for a second there that they'd been bought, and I was like, who are you talking about?
Live life in the slow lane, which is a great motto to live by.
Absolutely.
And terrific, well done to Slow Lane. For hitting the ground running as a new brewery, but which, of course, has got nothing to do with the judging because nobody knows what the beer is. But the fact that a Belgian triple has a difficult beer to – it's got to be really, really, really good to take a big gong.
Mm. Have you not had one of these yet?
A little bit rare. No?
Oh,
no.
We'll see if we can get our hands on some.
Had not heard of them until the news came out. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Cool. Yeah. Who's the new – we were just talking about Gage Rhodes and Brewers just last week or the week before, and they've just announced a new head brewer.
They have indeed, for their Fremantle venue. So I don't know if you remember, but they're investing huge, big Gage Rhodes venue in Fremantle, I believe, at Victoria Keys. And they've appointed Simone Clements to lead the site's brewing operations. So I had a really nice chat with Simone, just chatting about how she got to where she got. She has a science background. She was like a lab tech, did lots of quality assurance things. And then she was like, one day, quite fancy a bit of brewing. So it was really nice just to see how Gage had like brought her up internally and trained her internally, and now she is like helming a massive big project, a really customer facing project. And she brought up a really interesting point, which was that she'd obviously been on the purely on the production side before this, and now she's going to have to be doing a little bit more of the customer facing thing. And I kept thinking, do you know what, absolutely right, because I see loads of people doing like brewers tables and things like that, and meet the brewer sessions, and I think the guys did one at Moffat Beach, and I know Tom Champion at Felons does a lot of them, and just everybody does. And I forgot that you kind of have to be a bit more of a performer and a bit more of a like personable customer facing type person when you do that. And that's a big leap. That's a scary leap when you've just been chucking hops in and tinkering with spreadsheets and doing all that kind of stuff in the background. So good luck to her. And yeah, they thought it'd be a great one. So they're not open yet. Summer 2022 they're aiming for. Not an exact date yet, but that'll be a really big project for Gage. It's their first venue on the West Coast. So I can't wait to get out there. It looks brilliant.
And you bring up an interesting point there. It echoes what we were speaking about a few episodes ago about brand engagement, and how if the brewer is seen as intrinsic to the brand, so you go, oh, that's so-and-so's beer, rather than, that's that brewery's beer. Mm-hmm. I think it's a big advantage. So, yeah.
You
if you'd like to be one of those people, mm-hmm. but you don't have a brewery, well, guess what? Victoria's Social Bandit Brewing Co. is up for sale.
It is. So actually, this one got listed like middle of last year, I believe. And there were plans in the works for the founder to go to New Zealand and blah, blah, blah. It's a lovely little brew pub from the looks of it in Victoria. But COVID obviously scuppered that. Nobody wanted to make a massive decision like that while COVID was happening and while everything was closed. So they relisted this one, but it's a really interesting little venue. And I'm not sure if we'll see that many more of them on the market, but maybe. We've seen a few bit of movement on that kind of sales and acquisitions type area. So we'll see. But it's apparently a good little opportunity. They do about 150,000 litres a year, a little bit of wholesale, but mainly at the brew pub. So if you want to own a brewery, this is a sponsored post, by the way, if you want to own a brewery, then give them a go.
Well, it was a sponsored post
back then,
a year ago when we listed it, and now it's kind of like it still hasn't sold. So when they said that and they'd lowered the price, but you know, like it's interesting given what we've talked about brewery valuations recently on the podcast, and you know, equity crowdfunding, that you know, you can pick up a brewery done, you know.
All done, all packaged up, venue sorted,
that in a tourism district for $550,000. And it's kind of like, you know, that's what some breweries are raising.
That's mad, isn't it?
In equity crowdfunding, you know, for a fraction of it. So, it always bear that in mind when you're thinking of what a brewery is worth.
Exactly. But also, I think, too, for those who know Mansfield, which is sort of, you know, at the foot of the hills of the high country there, it's a lifestyle as well. I mean, that's not saying it's not hard work, but I think too, a venue like that is as much about people coming in and having a feed and welcoming families and all that sort of thing. And the beer is, I guess, kind of what attracts them there. But you, everything else is what makes them stay.
Yep, exactly.
So good luck to Jeff White and in moving on to his next project. Is he still? I think he's still planning to.
I think that was the plan. I think that was the plan. Yeah, but. Obviously. Yeah.
If Jacinda will let him in.
I was going to say.
He might just want to hang on to it for a little bit. We might be running this ad again this time next year. Stay tuned.
All right.
Right, well, that's it for the news. Thanks very much for joining us. If you need to get back to whatever it is that you're doing, or you can stay for a little thing we like to call Below the Fold. And Below the Fold, we always start with mailbag. Now, don't forget, you can review us on iTunes or send us in an email to be in the draw for the letter of the week, any of the comments, all those sorts of things. You can do it through email. You can, you know, tap us on the shoulder if you see us in a pub or a brewery. You can join our Facebook group. Just search Radio Brews News and use the password Soapbox. And the mailbag is thanks to our good friends at New Zealand Ale Trail. So head to www.nzaletrail.com or at nzaletrail on all your social media to find the best beer experiences in New Zealand. And don't forget to, we ask you every week, but you know, we don't ask much, but when we do, it's from the heart, you can subscribe to this podcast if you like it, and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We're happy to have, you know, any sort of constructive criticism about podcasts as well, but you know, give us 5 stars and then shoot Candace if you wouldn't mind. just helps to defeat the big tech algorithm. It costs you nothing, but it helps other beer lovers discover the podcast. What's in the mailbag this week, Claire?
Oh, we've only got a couple of bits this week, actually. I think you'll remember the Cerveza chat that Matt had with Jazz Beering at Modus Operandi last week. And we were having a chat about brewers playing into those sort of more, in quotation marks, mainstream styles. And Shane Jaspera says, the market isn't evolving. They are just deciding to play in the 90% beer market instead of the 10% craft beer market. And Matt, I think you made a very good point afterwards, which was, why would you not? Surely that's like a good strategy.
It's not that the market isn't evolving. It's that canny players will adapt to a market that is evolving or evolve to, you know, where the market is drinking.
Yeah. Breweries are putting their best face forward. You know, they're selling the vision and positioning themselves. And I guess it's our job as an industry publication to look at what this means for the industry. And that's, you know, when, you know, Jazz was doing the ad pitch, which, you know, is her job, and what you'd expect. You know, I was sort of trying to bring it back to what it says about the industry, and you know, it's not having a crack at anybody for doing this. It's you know, it's a very crowded market, and I've had a couple of conversations in the last week. You know, being interviewed for a couple of things and sort of talking about it, and you know, ultimately, beer is a hedonistic pleasure. If you enjoy it,
that's all that matters.
That's what that beer is there for. But, you know, so why wouldn't you chase that market if it's there? The challenge, though, is that, you know, as somebody else said, that you're going head-to-head with the big guys who have...
Who can do it far cheaper and...
Cheaper, they can outspend you on advertising, you know, all of those sorts of things. Which, incidentally, it always comes back to me where, you know, this craft beer identity or the indie seal or whatever needs to have such value to the consumer to justify you buying, you know, if it's just going to be a Mexican style lager when you can pick up, you know, the overpriced Mexican style lager in the Flint glass bottle, you need a very strong, powerful reason. You know, you're asking a lot of consumers to walk past and get it. And that's where, you know, the story of the brand comes in. So yeah, no finger pointing at them for doing it, but it is a really interesting closing of one part of the circle, you know, in an industry that used to decry fizzy yellow liquid.
Yeah, and it did. I was out for the very first time in a long while on Tuesday night at Ale Stars at the local tap house and caught up with a few people. And shout out to Brendan from Kaiju Beer, who complimented us on the – he said it was a really interesting chat with Jazz, and he could sort of see from a beer drinker's point of view and also as a beer industry professional's point of view, he could kind of hear both sides of the story. But he made a point of congratulating you, Matt, on your efforts to cut through the ad and get that
And again, I would really hate that to be seen as criticism because that job to sell the beer.
Yeah.
But that's not our audience. Like, yeah. We'll leave that up to others to add adjectives and, you know, fairy floss to sell the beer.
To sort of put a focus on where is the industry going if that's the beer that we're moving towards. And I just point out to, you know, if a brewery opened tomorrow and it had a Belgian wit, a dark lager, a porter, a wheat beer, you'd go, mate, you're not going to last very long in this caper. And yet that was the standard operating blueprint for, you know, craft breweries, microbreweries, boutique breweries way back when. So it's all just changing, you know.
That's it.
Well, the market's
and you got to move with it.
Yeah,
that's right. You but you got to follow the market. You can't. We're too small to create the market. We've got to respond to the market.
Yeah, and look, if you've got 500 breweries that are all playing in the hazy space, you know, and chasing that, you know, there are other opportunities out there.
Yeah. You're all, you know, it's 1,000 seagulls.
You're fighting over the same small piece of that pie then, aren't you? Yeah. And, I mean, Adam Gall says on that same subject, there is no craft beer, just beer. Brewers have finally come to the sensible conclusion that to stay in business, they need to brew styles that people want to drink. Interesting about the craft beer thing. Do we think is that fair? I think that still gets used a lot, though, craft, as in we are a craft brewer, we are a craft brewery, we make craft beer. Do you think that is now null and void, like, you don't, or is that fair to say? It's a hard one, isn't it? Well, what do you mean by craft? It's like what we were saying the other week, what do you mean by artisan?
Matt's got a T-shirt that might kind of sum up.
Well, it was even in a news headline this week, the post.
What?
Yeah, no, it was in the Facebook group.
I
shared it in the Radio Brews news group.
I would posit that craft is still a term used mostly by people outside of the drinkers who are coming across from mainstream who just think of beer as beer. And mate, for them, it's a bit of a way of differentiating it. But I don't think necessarily any brewers consider themselves to be craft brewers.
No, and look, you know, if you go back, it used to do my head in when on beer lists you would have, you know, beers that are made under license on beer lists is imported. You know, the brand is international, but the beer itself isn't imported. So it just became a marketing term in the same way that premium, you know, if you go back, was a beer that was selling for over $40 a carton, I think it was. You know, if it was over $40 a carton, that was premium, as opposed to the mid-strength that was in the low 30s. It doesn't actually mean anything. It's just a descriptor for the kind of market that it's going for these days. And, you know, we debated endlessly what craft meant. And the discussions that we were having were meaningless. You know, they've just come to be meaningless because things like enzymes and adjuncts and, you know, all of the techniques that craft brewers are doing now, saying that they're pushing boundaries, were things that in the what is craft beer days were an anathema to brewers. And, you know, it becomes a little bit like what real ale is, and, you know, where you can sort of actually see it calcify if you too slavishly adhere to definition. So, you know, craft beer should continue to evolve. And I think we are, you know, in a post-craft world where beer is beer, but then you're sort of fighting for the various segment of the market that you operate in, and craft is just a segment of that market as opposed to being a thing.
Interesting. I'm going to have to ponder this.
Yeah. A late mailbag item?
It was. This is what...
Vanity piece for Claire.
It was a vanity. See, you get one, I get one. It's only fair, Pete. this was really nice, though, from Gavin Spencer. Matt alluded to it earlier. A great episode this week with Eden Pink. I should make one of you lot read this out.
It sounds super poncy. She's watching.
Super poncy when I say it myself. There were two things that I took away from the conversation. Firstly, how passionate and excited she is for the industry. If we ever need a rev up to keep us going on a crappy day or to share the excitement over a beer being made, Eden seems to be the perfect person to be around, and she was an absolute legend. Secondly, how well Eden spoke about a very difficult issue. She quite eloquently put how it's not just the big things, but the small things we all need to get better at. I found myself thinking or hoping I hadn't made my staff members clean up after me. And I think that's such a fair point. I think we don't realise sometimes the things that we do that can affect people like that. So just a little bit more awareness on that front would be good. But no, props to Eden. She was amazing. We had a crappy internet connection, but we managed to power through and have a good old chat. Had a nice chat about Pink Boots, of which we're both members, and has been really great at supporting women in the industry. And just generally, just her love of beer, and I mean, she's achieved the amazing like opportunity of having a beer named after her, which I think is inspirational. So yeah, good on you, and thank you, Gavin, for that. Much appreciated.
Yeah, that was a good beer. And I don't know where they got their labels from.
but
I don't know if they
labels.
Used Relling's label stickers or packaging.
I hope they did.
But the guys out at our good friends at Prancing Pony, if you are looking at, you know, perhaps doing a small run or something like that, you could call 1-300-852-235, and the guys at Relling's Label Stickers and Packaging would be more than happy to help you out. And we mentioned last week that they're a business that's not just about, you know, trying to flog labels and stuff like that, because they also flog blank cartons, can trays, tap deckles, barcodes, shrink sleeves, the whole thing. You don't even need a machine. They'll do it all for you. But they're putting their money where their mouth is and supporting the Royal Queensland Food and Wine Show Beer Awards as the major sponsor. And okay, are they the champion? No, it's not the champion trophy, is it, Matt? Is it the champion new brewery award?
That rings a bell. Yeah.
If you go to the website, it'll be all on there.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, Royal Queensland Food and Wine Show Beer Awards. We've really got to just say Queensland Beer Awards, don't we? But yeah, well done to the guys at Relling's Label Stickers and Packaging for supporting the industry. You can do the same if you need, yeah. Anything else?
I just popped on the bottom an article. Now, sorry, Pete, this was just this morning that it got published anyway. So Daniel Ridd, a listener of ours, really engaged and has his own blog about the beer industry, he wrote a really interesting article, and I got a little look at it before it was published, so thank you for that, Daniel. But Matt's posted it on the Facebook group today as well, and it's an interesting one because we'd had these exact conversations about going into like a bottle shop and having a look at what the spread is in terms of private label, so Pinnacle Drinks owned.
We'd actually talked about doing a survey. Before Daniel has gone out and done the survey himself.
So we had the same thought, exactly, which was really cool. But what I really liked about Daniel's was that he'd compared it to one that he'd done last year. So he had a little look And we're talking about purely the what they consider the craft beer fridge, and whether what proportion of it was independent and what proportion of it was, you know, Pinnacle Drinks owned, which is their, if you don't know, is their in-house brand where they develop their own products, which often, as we've mentioned before, mimic that of the other brewers, independent brewers, smaller brewers that are also their suppliers. So it was a really interesting one, and I definitely should think you should give it a read. But the bottom line is the number of private label products in the fridge. Obviously, this is just a snapshot of one bottle shop, but they've gone up, which we were not surprised about. But it was interesting to see that their actual numbers there for it. So the IBA, I know, in their submission to the ACCC, they obviously mentioned that Endeavour, they really put them next door to Lion and CUB, just basically saying, you know, these are potentially a competitor to the independent brewers across Australia. So just something to keep an eye out. And if you do care, check the back, make sure that even though the price looks a little bit nice, just if you care about that, check that it's definitely an independent brewer, not a Pinnacle Drinks. So, and I think that's all we can do really on that one, because you can't tell them not to do it. And I don't think CUB and Lion are at the point where they would say are threatened enough to say anything to Endeavour. So you got to live with it, don't you? That's it. Just make sure you're aware if that's something that you care about.
Yeah, and it's about education, but it's also about, you know, this time 5 years ago, we were probably lamenting that it was just so hard to find any sort of range or any sort of anything different from the mainstream in, you know, a BWS or whatever it is. And we've kind of got, I guess, you know, so much choice now. But, yeah, if it means something to you, then, you know, stay tuned to people like us, because we'll let you know.
Absolutely. We'll tell you what's what.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not saying buy one over the other or don't buy one or whatever, but just saying here's how to tell.
There you go.
Yep. Cool. And it's certainly good, I guess, from a branding point of view for emerging styles of beer. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably law of unintended consequences, or it's one of those, you know, hidden benefits, or can seem like a benefit because, you know, it puts in the hands of people who would not otherwise have drunk it. You know, if you're always just drinking Carlton Draft or Great Northerns or whatever it might be, and then you see something that's, oh, actually that's a pretty good price. It's on special, or it's, you know, it's the, you know, the Dan Murphy's My Dan's Club. You know, sometimes they have a like their monthly member specials and that sort of thing. Oh, you see them at the front of the aisles, and you see people walking past, and you go, I'm looking at them, and I'm going, okay, in his trolley, he's got, you know, slab of Corona and a slab of Great Northerns, but he's looking at a, you know, a pale ale or a, you know, a tropical lager or, you know, whatever it might be. Not necessarily an independent, but it's just something different to what he's looking at. So
yeah,
I do apologise if you've
got some bird twittering birds. Yeah, you like Snow White.
Practicing his bird calls.
That's it. I've got a cockatoo that that pops in normally between 3 and 5 of an afternoon, and he popped in. I don't know whether he could hear me, but I thought, oh, I might have to just mute my mic here because he calls out to let me know that he's there. So if you heard a few peeps from him, that's Fred. Anyway, that's all. Is there anything else to discuss in Below the Fold?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so. One thing I will say is that last week we gave a free plug to Bluestone Yeast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's interesting, you know, you say something off the cuff and it's funny the sort of response you get. And a lot of people have been going out and trying the 3.5 and the brewer, who I didn't know listened to the podcast, obviously had it brought to his attention, which was nice, or heard awesome. It himself. But then Bluestone Yeast actually had a couple of people reaching out and subscribing to on the back of it. So
brilliant.
They're actually going to come on as sponsors of a semi-regular you know, beer of the week.
Yes! No way! I can't believe that.
So beware, be prepared for more ads, people, but from a very good business and you know, somebody who is an avid listener and wants to help make sure that we keep doing
it. It's not an advertiser, it's a supporter.
So Bluestone Yeast. I don't think it even starts yet.
And speaking of Bluestone Yeast, big news out this week, new edition of Rattenhund.
Oh, really? Yeah, I saw someone posted that in the Facebook group.
So what are they, Pete? Well, let's make that our beer for the week. Hey. But one of the things I was actually mulling over this week was, you know, talking about Pilsners, as increasingly happens, and how magic a beer like that was. But it was a one-off release that happened to win, you know, I believe it was just a one-off release that happened to win the champion trophy, which kind of makes it very hard to retire.
Not do it again.
And it creates hype and awareness and people wanting to try it, which is what an award should do. But I would be really interested in finding out if there's any pressure on them to, you know, when it's one-off release, they did really made it special. And, you know, is there any pressure to shorten the time frames or, you know, not cut corners in a negative sense, but just make more commercially realistic?
I don't think you couldn't make that beer without the, now is it 8 or 10? 8 weeks. It's at least 8 weeks in lagering. And that's not after we packaged it, we, you know, cool store it to kind of, you know, lager it on small scale. This is like lagering in the ferment, in the, you know, the bright tank. Look, the risk would be that people go, you know, I was just so enamored of it, or I'd heard all about it, and then if it doesn't blow your hat off, you're then disappointed. But I don't think that would happen. But I think you create a monster for yourself in a good way, because there'll be people, you know, pre-ordering it or wanting to get their hands on it as soon as it comes out. Then, boom, it's all gone again, and you've got to wait until, you know, next year, maybe. I don't know. But it came out during, what was it? Oh, it was the end of summer, I suppose, wasn't it? Mm. End of summer into, when was, yeah, so May was the AIBA's Good Beer Week, et cetera. And then they're rebrewing it again in November.
Oh, there we go.
It'll be interesting to see.
Will we make that our first official, well, actually it's not even official because I don't think they've
I think we've still got to call it the unsponsored beer of the week.
Yeah, exactly. Good one.
Coming soon to this space, a new ad from Bluestone.
Coming soon.
You know, like those, coming soon, a new burger bar for this space. So anyway.
Well, I will throw into that mix, and yes, I paid for it, full whack retail, thank you. I had both a Czech Pilsner and a German Pilsner from Stomping Ground.
Oh,
okay.
And absolutely spot on, just very sensational. Nice. Really, really good.
We do have to find beers other than Pilsners for the for the beer of the week. Just saying.
Yeah, no, when it's
and lagers, because last week it was a lager, and somebody said, "Did you really, really enjoy it that much?" And it was kind of a little bit where, you know, when someone, because you've made a big thing about a beer that like it was spectacular for its lack of awesome, you know, like it was just
awesomeness.
Exactly as a beer should be, and so you end up over hyping something that shouldn't be hyped at all, except that it's just so as it should be that it kind of stands
that's
out.
Good though. What do which you is want? Odd. Well, what do you want it to be? But, what do you want it to be? Pure gold?
Well, no, because then, well, but, that's, no, but that's what I'm saying, and that's the thing. But then, you know, someone says, "Was it really that good?" And I'm going, "Well, no."
it did what it said on the tin.
Yes.
But in not being anything special, it was...
That was what made it special.
Which is... Anyway, it's kind of like that's one of those magnets that floats between two things that just exists. But yeah, so don't go drinking expecting unicorn's tears or, you know, it's not going to change your life or anything like that. But it's just a beer that you can have and enjoy.
But it might, because if you're one of these people who... you know, I'm talking to hashtag craft people now who shit can lager because, you know, that's what the big guys brew and that's what, you know, Bogans drink. Mm. It's such a, and look, shout out to Blackman's because their series of, you know, different lagers, I think is a really good example of, you know, it's not just a pale Australian style lager with, you know, moderately hopped and, you know, minimal bitterness. There's a broad spectrum. In the same way that pale ale, you say, well, do you like pale ale? You say, well, what do you mean? Do you mean, you know, that 50 Lashes one or, you know, Sierra Nevada Torpedo? I mean, they're all pale ales, aren't they? So, and there's Coopers in between, you know, and 1,000 either side of that.
There you
go. Yeah. All right. Are we exhausted? Is that it? We done?
I think we are, actually.
I think we're done.
We whizzed through that pretty quick.
Well, welcome.
That's okay. All of those times that we go overtime, you know.
Make up for it. Yeah.
So we're just giving you 15 minutes of your life back.
Yeah, exactly. So on that note, with thanks to Prime Malt, Relling's Label Stickers and Packaging, and New Zealand Ale Trail, and...
soon to be.
Soon to be.
Yes!
Thanks very much for joining us. You guys got anything planned this week?
Chuck Hahn's 50th dinner is being held in Melbourne. In Sydney next week, and I was invited down to that, and it was a real... It's been rescheduled twice because of lockdowns. And
three times.
Oh, is it three?
Oh, I think I think this is the third time.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So, you know, I had to sort of think, well, you know, I can go down and then just home quarantine for 2 weeks. Because, you know, like, again, Chuck is, you know, a legend. And obviously James Atkinson's awesome documentary podcast that apparently for a beer podcast, you know, wasn't outside of the top 10 food podcasts for a week, deservedly so, because it was just so much work involved in doing that, so much time. Go listen to it if you haven't already, podcast listeners. Drinks Adventures, I should say.
Wednesday, November the 24th.
Yep,
for Chuck's. But it's invitation only, so if you haven't got an invitation, don't.
Well, I got an invitation that I can't take up, so if anyone wants to.
As did I, and also unavailable. Which is a shame.
I didn't know. There you go. I didn't realize you were invited, Pete. That would have been we would have been a meet in the middle.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So on that note, again, thanks to Crime Alt, Relling's Label, Stickers and Packaging, and New Zealand Ale Trail for making it all possible. Enjoy your week. That's it for this week. But until next week, drink fresh, drink local, look after yourselves and each other, and in fact, be excellent to each other, and wash your damn hands. And we're out.
Boom.
Don't forget, if you like what we do here at Radio Brews News, you can help us out in a number of ways. You can sponsor the show either by a small monthly contribution or through a one-off donation. You'll find details in the show notes. You can also review us on iTunes or whatever your favourite podcasting service happens to be. Let us know what you think and help others find and discover our shows. Finally, you can tell us what you think about what's going on in the beer industry by emailing us at producer@brewsnews.com.au. All letters received will receive in return, as by way of thanks, a Brews News bottle opener. We love hearing your thoughts on the stories we cover because, as you may have heard, beer is a conversation.